Dave, nice. Eric, nice. David, nice. Heather, nice. Heather's boyfriend, oh, very nice. Oh, hello, children. Santa here. We're busy making and procuring toys at the North Pole, getting ready for the big day. And even though 2020 has certainly been on my naughty list, I know you all did your best to find your way onto that nice column. Your donations, acts of kindness, and mask wearing hasn't gone unnoticed. My good friends David and Eric at Adventures in Collecting ask me to wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And thank you all for keeping us busy with your love of toys. Ho 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 ho! I'll be visiting you real soon. But first I need to get in touch with Jeremy about those AEW toys. Ho 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. Happy holiday edition of the episode.
Hello.
You know, I was
oh,
worried.
Ho, ho, hello?
There we go. I was going to say, are we going to get a little ho, ho, ho action? Or is it just going to be normal hello?
I forgot.
Well, happy holidays to everybody listening. It's been a year. And we all made it through it. Joining us today to help celebrate the end of the year and talk all things toys is our friend, your friend, Toy Shiz.
Hello. Oh, I was like, ho, 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 ho. Is that right? Ho, ho.
Yeah, you know, something like ho, 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 hello.
Let's put this year to rest, for the love of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers to that. And instead of sitting down and getting a cup of coffee, why don't we dunk the crystal mousse mug into the big old punch bowl and pull out some eggnog and get all holiday
up in here.
Everyone put on your Cousin Eddie Dickie and get ready to mess up Clark's Christmas.
On today's episode,
we're going to cover really two things. So if you tuned into our holiday episode last year, we talked about the ghosts of Christmas past. So Dave and I went into our childhoods and we picked two toys that we got for Christmas that we remember fondly. And, you know, we'll kind of just go into what it was like to get those things and kind of go back and talk about some of those old toy lines again for the first time in a while. And then something new this year, you know, since, again, this year, as wild as it has been a cultural year, it has been very interesting in terms of toy collectors. Mm-hmm. One could argue, right, that this is a hell of a time to be a toy collector.
This was like a year especially to rely on fellow toy collectors to help you out if you weren't capable of going to the store hey, this is available online. It was just a lot of people helping each other. That was cool to see.
Yeah, definitely the networking aspect of it has been great, and you know the community aspect of it.
Yeah,
but also just kind of what we've seen from toy makers this year, innovations in technology and innovations in design, and you know pretty much everything. It's been a very good year.
I'd even say presentation too. You know.
Yeah, that's true. All of the virtual events, the level of transparency that we're seeing, it almost feels wrong to say it, but it has been a good year on that front. So if there's something worth celebrating, it's the fact that that the toys have been good this year.
Yeah. No, it's been expensive and it's been fantastic all in one.
Oh yeah, expensive. That's definitely another way to put it. Thanks, Marvel Legends team and Mattel WWE Elite team.
Every time I see the Marvel Legends team on Twitter say, "We're not done yet," I'm like, no, be done. please God be done. What are you doing?
Yeah, Dan puts out one of those tweets, and then it's just a series of GIF responses of like Michael Scott, the no, please God, no.
But hey, you know what? They keep it pressing. What, like, you don't even have to worry about Marvel Legends anymore. It's like when they say, oh yeah, we're going to have an announcement, you're like, okay, cool. I need to set aside this amount, probably, and yep. I'll get them.
Well, yeah. It was even like for me today with the Jazzwares Series 3 AEW reveal. I was like, okay, I'm going to go pre-order these now.
Yeah. Those look good. I mean, for me, knowing what little I know about wrestling, I'm like, in talking about like even ingenuity and just changes and everything else happening, those look fantastic. Like, they're really doing great stuff with that.
I mean, Orange Cassidy can put his hands in his pockets, like in real life. Like, that's unheard of on like a wrestling toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not like ill-fitting cloth jeans either. They're molded, so like it's even better. Like, it's just such a weird, like, awesome gimmick that they worked into that toy that I props to Magic, almost the designer on those Jazzwares toys, and Jeremy and Greg and all those guys. They're just, it's ridiculous what they're doing over there.
I like the tease. I think it was on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. It was just like a hand in a pocket, and I'm like, I don't know what that is, but okay.
Yep. And I mean, they're, speaking of Jazzwares, I mean, it's just like everything with them. They really went heavy on that whole on like the YouTube creator world, you know, with their Coco Melon license, like the kids programming, and that Blippi mm-hmm. guy. You know, those toys, like that new Coco Melon toy is like the Tickle Me Elmo this year. It's, you know, like, people are either crashing Target site looking for a PlayStation 5, the latest NECA release, or a Coco Melon doll. Mm-hmm. So I was today years old when I found out about that.
I don't want to brag or anything, but I got to meet Blippi in person at Toy Fair, and it was amazing.
How was it? Tell us more about Blippi.
They're like, this is Blippi. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I get home and the little one's like, you met Blippi? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure did.
He had his suspenders on and everything.
No, that was fun. Jazzwares, their booth at Toy Fair is always so like fancy, fantastic. Just, they need like a piano and like a chandelier there once in a while.
Yeah, it was insane, because like they had everything from, you know, legit like pro wrestling superstars just like rolling through looking at their figures to, you know, yeah, like a Nerf gun shooting range.
Yeah, that's what I think, you know, like even talking about it, like last Toy Fair, the first Toy Fair I ever went to last year, I mean, you like walked in, they're like, would you care for a sandwich? You know, like there's a huge sandwich bar and they're handing out little fancy napkins with Jazzwares on it. And I told them that, like, you know, I'm like, that was the most fancy experience ever, of going around and looking at toys. You know what I mean? Like, you want chips? You know, British guys walking around handing me towels. I'm like, I don't need a towel, but thank you. Appreciate it.
Would you like a back rub while you're here?
Yeah, please.
Massage, 5-minute massage. Well, speaking of Jazzwares and, you know, and the Marvel Legends team and everything, they've, you know, they have had an incredible year, but it makes us think, right? What's next? So, yeah. You know, what are some of the things, like, let's just kind of go round robin. Let's talk about some of the things that we want to see from some of these, companies next year in 2021. Dave, do you want to hit maybe a wrestling thing? I know you've been itching.
This
thing that you want to talk about.
The idea for this basically spawned from this thing that I want. So it's wrestling based, of course. It's a Mattel WWE Elite. And, you know, we've had on the WrestleMania figures the last 2 years, there's been a Build-A-Figure. There was referee Danny Davis last year, Paul Ellering this year. But I think there's somebody, and, you know, we've got to get this out there. This is, we've got to make this a thing, maybe. But so there's Shotzi Blackheart, who's on NXT. And she rides a little kind of go-kart tank to the ring. So I think we can do a build a figure wave, but not build a figure. We can build a tank. So of course Shotzi has to be like the key figure in the line. She's got to be there with the helmet and everything. But we need to get her a tank. And if we could have a build a tank, I think that would be incredible.
You know, it the tank that she rides in really isn't that large. And McFarlane did the build a Batmobile thing for that first build a thing wave that they did with the DC.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a good way to describe that wave, the build a thing.
Like, I mean, when they talked about it, they said that there are plans to do like additional Batmobiles in like different iterations, but we haven't seen any more of that. And
I think they were like, people probably want the figures more.
But you know, to Dave's point, the tank is not that large. It's about would be really not much larger than that Batmobile fully assembled. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can have it with the turret and with the like rocket, but there's four in the WrestleMania wave.
Okay, so you might be able to get away with it with four figures.
Or if you know, even if you wanted to do it in a normal six figure wave, like you could have like the rocket and the turret be its own package.
Toyshiz, you got to look this thing up.
I'm trying to like keep up. I'm like, tank, yes, and
If you've seen people posting, the best way I could describe it is if you've seen people posting pictures of that tank that Walmart is currently selling for kids.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, that's actually what I had in mind when you said tank. I'm like, what, like that, that's not even Fisher-Price, is it? What is that?
I don't know who's making that, but I've seen it making the rounds. Like, it's like a Power Wheels, right? I think.
Oh, yeah, I think that's, yeah. It's awesome. It's the big display. Well, they had it like what, a year ago in the store or something like that.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Think about that, but only like twice as big.
Okay,
so like enough for like an adult to sit in it and look like they're in like sitting in like a Mario Kart.
What if they did it like Professor X style and did the figure with two halves and then you build it yourself with
that would
like legendary riders style.
That's yeah. Right. They did split the hover chair in half.
But the problem is people will think there might be two tanks inside the packaging if they see the two halves. I don't know if you guys remember that. Everyone thought that Professor X came with two hover chairs because they had to have it. You know what I mean?
Yep. So I remember seeing those comments.
But that would work too, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got and if they do that, that's got ringside exclusive written all over it.
Oh, 100%. But, you know, however we're going to get it, but like it when they make that Shotzi figure, cuz they're going to make a Shotzi Elite. She's like, you know, she's so toyetic with the helmet and she's got green hair, like she's a toyetic personality. To not have the tank would be borderline criminal.
So she's like Ghost Rider. You can't have her without. Okay, I just gotta pull up a picture of her. Yeah, she needs that tank. I think that is the tank, isn't it? From
it's very close. Like it's very close to it.
It is tank girl. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. Is she? So I am just like full disclosure. Just getting like kind of back into wrestling. AEW ended up being my gateway drug, if you will, back into professional wrestling. But they just had War Games, NXT War Games, which is where, you know, what Shotzi's a part of. Mm-hmm. And Dave was like, we got to do this topic for this episode. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you got to watch this. And I watched War Games and I was just like, what does he want to build a figure? Like, I'm like looking at the wrestlers and then he's like, you know, of course, just now he's like the tank.
Mm.
Yeah. Makes sense now, Dave. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm into it though. I think, you know, the thing is with the wrestling figures, and it's been a long history of it going back to like the Jack stuff. The accessories for wrestlers are always amazing, and every now and then Mattel puts out a good one. That Slambulance is pretty good.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
It looks like The Rock is coming out with a new car that comes completely apart. So
I love, you know, Mattel, they get very creative with not only just like packaging itself, but just everything they've been doing, from Jurassic Park to like WWE Eternia, the wrestling. When you actually look at wrestling figures, you're like, wow, there's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot that goes into this. And I think a lot of people overlook it if you're not a fan of wrestling, as I tend to do. But when you look at the sets and everything else that comes with it, you're like, yeah, I totally understand why people love this stuff. Like, they really go to town on the toys.
I got one. I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna go next. So there have been pictures already coming out of like the next wave of the Spin Master 4-inch Batman figures. Toyshas, you found them the other day. The Riddler, the new Batwoman. What I want to see from Spin Master in 2021, I want to see some of those like other big A-list villains they haven't done yet. I want to see Mr. Freeze. I want to see the Mad Hatter. I want to see Scarecrow. They did just announce Bane. Bane was on my list before that announcement had come out. But I want to see just more Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like a new Batman in every wave, which is awesome. And of course, there has to be a new Batman in every wave. You can never not have Batman on the pegs, right?
Exactly.
But I want more of those A-list villains, because I really like dig the design that they're doing. It's, you know, it very much so is an homage to like some of the classic designs of these characters, but also, you know, has like enough of a modern, you know, twist on it. So I would love to see them do something like a Mr. Freeze or Penguin or Scarecrow. And I'm just thinking too, like those zany accessories that they come with, you know, the stuff that they would package in them and in those little blind boxes would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, for those of you guys that collect them and everything, those little accessories are fun. I think it adds to the playability for kids, but also has that retro feel. And like with those new retro Marvel Legend, the 3.75-inch, you know, that's ultimately where I would like to see them go, is to do like weird clip-on accessories and things, you know, to kind of keep that retro feel. But it's fun when I go, you know, when you go to the toy aisle, and like you said, I found those new Batman figures. It's fun because I message you guys, I go, oh, these are the ones you're talking about. Because I try to stay up on it as much as I can, but it's fun to see them on the shelves and then go, I know that's new. I know people want that Riddler. Riddler look cool. The new Batwoman with all her like Batman Beyond circuitry, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, it looks like this first wave is kind of like glitch tech or like glitch camouflage. Even the new 12-inch Batman has that very like early 2000s design, but I, again, like it goes back to those Kenner and Toy Biz figures, and I'm right with you there on those 3.75 legends. Like, give everybody a clip on shield, like they did back in the day,
like a web shield for Spider-Man and a digital thing for Iron Man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, why do those? You know, I mean, people, they're you know, just to have them, okay. But,
well, I mean, you know, if you think back to the Secret Wars ones, everybody had a lenticular shield.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
We were talking to Steve Evans about them, and one of the things that he mentioned was that, because my initial thought, right, when I first saw them was, they're making these for people who either grew up in the Kenner era or grew up kind of with the nostalgia for that, you know, like they had an older sibling. You know, they're a collector now and they're going back and they're collecting, you know, figures from that era. But he actually mentioned, he said that one of the ideas with this was to get a simpler, smaller, lower price point figure to new collectors, like to get, you know, for people to kind of get into, you know, either collecting or playing with these. And for me, you know, you're looking at them and they don't really come with a lot of accessories, thinking about it in terms of that. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, that's like what gets the kids involved. Like, they don't care that, you know, and again, I'm looking at the Spin Master ones right now. They don't care that Nightwing's, you know, batons don't come with giant blue gauntlets attached to them. Like, yeah. they want something that's cool and flashy and, you know, plays well. And that's what these do. And if you have, you know, 3 3/4 inch scale figures with little to no accessories, I don't know. So, I think that's definitely a component that they need to consider for that.
No, and I agree. Like, when I did my video, I was talking about it in the sense of, you know, Spider-Man's hands are both like web thwip hands. A clip-on web thing would have been awesome. I don't need lots of articulation for those. I get it in that sense. You don't need, you know, some people are saying like, oh, I wish the arms were articulated. I wish the legs. If they were a little bit more pre-posed, I would have actually preferred that too. They're very much straight up and down, to which it kind of it almost becomes like boring in the sense, because then again, you don't have anything to clip on or do anything with, so they just kind of stand there. And then being that they don't have anything, when you put their hands up, they're not really doing anything either. So vehicles, play sets, all that I think will help.
Yeah, and it doesn't break from the idea that they are a what if Kenner made these if they came with accessories. You know, I think having the 5 points of articulation and, you know, the body types and the static poses, that kind of more of a neutral pose, is definitely akin to something that Kenner would have been doing in the early 80s. But yeah, I still think you can get away with squeezing in some accessories.
I think in pure Kenner fashion, they have to. I mean, they used to pack those boxes with all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, between Kenner and Toy Biz, you never knew what you were getting.
All right. Like, I just did a video on the Web Trap line for, you know, the old Spider-Man series. And you were basically getting like a kind of like a base slash like extra figure with their little accessory that they came with. So kids would be stoked. You know what I mean? There's a play feature, and for the collector, you're getting a regular figure if need be, but it was a win-win situation.
Was that Web Trap series, was that the one with the Hobgoblin that had like the big like wearable harness that you could hook up to a like a zip line, and it had the like the pumpkin launchers on it?
No, that one, that is a great figure. That's the Web Flyers.
Web Flyers.
Line. Yeah. So it was Web Cop. There's two Spider-Man, Hobgoblin, and a Carnage. And like for me, like, you know, people say, oh, how many waves do you have left to look at? Yada yada. I go, well, there's technically like one more, because once you get to like Web Flyers and Spider Power and like all that stuff, that's when they were like, okay, the animated series has been off the air for probably like a year now. There's no cartoon to sell it. Let's just do comic book stuff. So kind of residual energy, but at the same time, it's like not based on anything. The shit, like Hobgoblin, completely new design. I think even you could kind of say it was comic booky, but it was a cool figure because he had big shoulders and you could attach the. Yeah, I have that. I'll pull him out.
I still have that one as well. That's why I was asking about it. I still have that one. I have him almost complete too. I think I might be missing. Did he come with rope for zipline?
Yeah, he came. It's two blue. I'm trying to like think. I know there's a bin over here with a minute, but blue clamps.
Yeah.
And you put them on, and then his big orange harness. You put the two giant pumpkin, like pair of pumpkins on each side, and it tosses it. It's pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like for them to. God, that's the kind of stuff I miss. Like even when we're talking about like, you know, just the Spin Master stuff, or now this Marvel Kenner stuff.
Or even give me like the Doom Cycle or the Turbo Cycle, like type of vehicles for it.
Yeah. It's corny, but it's fun.
Right. Didn't Spider-Man have like a buggy at some point?
Yeah. The spider car. Yeah.
Twishes, what do you got? What's something that you're looking forward to for 2021?
I'm looking forward to every time McFarlane announces a new Batman figure that everyone doesn't say, another Batman figure? I would say the biggest things I'm looking forward to is what they're going to do with Marvel Legends now that we're kind of getting away from, not to say movies in general, but we're going to do TV shows. So are we going to get TV show waves and, you know, many like mini waves? What are they going to do with Build-A-Figures in that sense? I'm so interested to see where McFarlane's going to take their stuff now with Future State, you know? Like, I hope they do, just to satiate those, like, do a couple classics here and there.
Yeah.
So we can finally not hear about that anymore. But, like, just everything that I'm seeing with Future State, like, I'm curious to see where DC Comics is going to go. Yeah, the Snyder Cut, which I can't say I'm all too excited about that because I wasn't a huge fan of the original Justice League, but I am curious to see it. It looks potentially like, hey, that'd be cool. Do I want figures for it? We'll see. I know a lot of people do, but
it's so with the Snyder Cut, like I mean I am one of those people that watches something and I will make excuses in order to find some enjoyment in it. So that way I don't sit there and go like, well, I wasted that 2 hours. Like there are very few things, Batman versus Superman being one of them though, that like I watched it and I was like, why, what happened? But like with Justice League, I watched it and I thought like, I was like, well, that was a movie.
I was like, well, I'm looking forward to Aquaman. Like
Gal Gadot was good. Like,
you know what? If they want to go back and make all the toys from Aquaman again, please, and Shazam, do that. I would love a giant whatever MacGuffin monster at the end of Aquaman. Like, make that into a three-way Build-A-Figure. I don't care. But the Justice League stuff, I'm just like, we'll see what happens. Maybe, you know?
I mean, here's the weird thing about, like, McFarlane is... It's strange because no matter what they do, it seems like people find something to complain about it. Like something, anything to complain about it, regardless of like, you know, I think I had mentioned this to you, you know, aside. I was talking to one of the guys from our local comic shop, Zap Comics, about, you know, what McFarlane's doing. And as a comic shop owner, he was like, it's brilliant. He's making figures about that are, you know, he's quickly churning out figures on the most popular comic run right now. Like he is making figures for comic book collectors. And he was like, I don't think people can really wrap their heads around that because it's been such a long time since somebody has specifically done that, like specifically catered to a modern run of comics that's popular. I mean, the closest thing that he was able to compare it to, he was like, well, Marvel just announced, you know, the House of X figures that come out in like a few months, like that are coming out in 2021, but he's already got, you know, Dark Knight's metal figures out and you can't find them anywhere because comic book collectors want them and no one else is making them.
And that's the thing is like, I think the main problem or where a lot of the contention comes from is that their majority of, let's say, action figure collectors nowadays, younger fans, are not necessarily reading comic books because they go to the movies and they use the movies now as like, oh, I know that character. Marvel, it tends to go either way, but for Batman specifically, you know, even when they go, oh, here's the Devastator and here's this character and it's a bunch of Dark Knight's metal figures, that has been the main storyline in and out for about 2 or 3 years almost now. And the figures came out fantastic, but I think people look at that and they go, I have no idea. This is not a classic character. It's not Batman the Animated Series. It's not anything I'm really aware of unless I read the comics, and I don't do that. So it's weird and I don't like it.
I don't know this, which means I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But comics, you know, for me, I've been keeping up with, I find that fascinating. I like when they do weird twisted versions of characters. Like I'm into the King in Black storyline with Venom because I'm a huge Venom fan, but Marvel's been in and out for me lately. They've been doing a lot of weird stuff where I'm like, this is just whatever. But DC, as bat poop crazy as it was, it's surprisingly kind of easy to follow, even though a lot of it's like it just kind of happens and you're like, okay. But the fact that it's going to wrap up, like issue 6 just came out, 7 should be out, I think the first week of January, I'm pretty sure, and that's really when the Bat Cycle and the Black Lantern Batman kind of comes out from McFarlane, so it's like perfect synergy right there. Like, you could finish the comic potentially and go buy the Black Lantern Batman with the scythe. And that's just awesome. I cannot wait for that figure. It looks fantastic. Both, and the guitar one, both of them.
Yeah, I like that. I like that there is a death metal Batman that has a guitar. And full disclosure, like, I'm not reading those books right now. I tend to be a when it comes to comics, I'll pick up a, you know, I'll wait for it to go to, you know, a graphic novel and read the collection. Like, once a storyline is finished, I don't have the patience to do the week by week or month by month thing with comics. Yeah. Depending on the
I hear it's. Just in terms of lifestyle and everything, it just, it doesn't normally work. And for me, not really, you know, being into comics in recent years, kind of getting back into it, it's been a lot of fun, you know, in that sense. But wait, remember back in the day, you'd read a comic and then I have to wait till, you know, next month. Okay. Nowadays you'd be like, nah, I'm over it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got to wait for how long? Like, we get away with it with The Mandalorian, like, barely. I feel like people are like, oh, 7 days? Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, and that, and the commitment's not long to it. Like, I can't believe that we're already coming up on the end of season two.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Like, by the time this episode airs, season two will be over.
They got to stop. Lucasfilm's got to stop with those, like, the end of the series. Like, the very dramatic, like, it all comes down to this. Like, they did that with Rise of Skywalker. Now they're trying to do it with season two of Mandalorian. I'm like, just let it end. It's a season finale. We'll come back in season three. Don't worry. Don't be overly dramatic.
and I mean, there.
And we're getting two other shows in the universe.
Yeah.
Two, aren't we getting? Like, we're getting like 8 new things, 10 new things from Lucasfilm alone.
Well, I just meant in the Mandalorian universe alone.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true.
Somebody hit the nail on the head. Like, when they had that investors meeting and they're like, we're going to do this with Marvel and we're going to do this with Star Wars. I'm like, well, at least there'll be plenty of toys from now until the end of the days.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you mentioned it before, but with Marvel, you know, like the different waves and everything, I'd imagine they're going to be churning out waves like they did with that Netflix wave back in the day, where like they have the Jessica Jones, the Daredevil, the Punisher. Like, 'cause I mean, there's just going to be so much going on at once that I can't imagine that each show is going to have its own dedicated wave of figures and a build a figure. Like, I just,
yeah,
a lot to think about.
It's going to be a lot,
especially now with was it Marvel Studios Legends?
I'm so used to seeing that logo that I initially shared it thinking that it was going to be a show about figures, and I was like, oh wait, it's not.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Like, I was just happened to be on Twitter that morning, and it was like, hey, here's your new, you know, feed. And I was like, what is that? I'm like, okay. And then I read it, and I was like, that's the same logo. They know what they're doing. There's got to be some kind of, you know.
Yeah, they called Jesse Falcon, and they're like, hey, can we use this?
He's like, they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. Hey, couldn't say no.
Dave, did you have anything else for 2021 that you were looking forward to?
Well, we talked about McFarlane stuff. You know, I would love to see more movie figures. Like, the Wonder Woman ones were great, especially since we're going to see the movie soon. But I'm going to go with one that is, I'm going to kind of use that, leave that out there. But I've wanted for the longest time a Carousel of Progress Disney Parks Deluxe Pop with, like, the dad in the recliner with the dog.
This is so good. That is so good. Now, do you want it in a Disneyland box, though?
No, it's not in Disneyland.
That's true. That's true. It's not in Disney. It is a Disney World.
Yeah, it's in the Magic Kingdom.
Right. Yeah, that would be great. Do you have a an era that you want it to be? Do you want it to be, like, '50s dad, or do you want it to be?
I would be okay with any of them, to be honest. I'm sure they would probably try to make a chase out of it or something, but just
Funko?
Give me one.
No, never.
Just give me one. I just want one.
I can picture him sitting the 4th of July one where he's sitting backwards on the chair with the two 4th of July fans fanning himself.
With the fans, yeah, that would probably be the best one, to be honest.
Yeah, either that or like the Mr. Rogers red cardigan one.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the two.
Yeah, that definitely. But yeah, that would be awesome, and it would fit right into those scenes that they're doing from the other attractions.
Yeah.
We actually also talked about most of mine. We're very efficient. There was only one thing that I wanted to really mention, and that was one of my favorite things of the year, which unfortunately in a lot of places ended up clogging up the clearance sections at Walmart. Were the Ghostbusters Plasma Series figures. I thought they did a really good job with that entire. I'm happy to have the entire wave, including the Hasbro Pulse exclusive one. But I'm already starting to think, like, you know, outside of the original Ghostbusters film, and I'm sure at some point we will see, you know, figures from Afterlife. But I would love a Vigo Build-A-Figure wave of Ghostbusters 2 figures in the Plasma Series.
That'd be cool. I've thought about that. Like, what, like, Ghostwise, or who would you do? Vigo would be the most poignant one to make, I think. You know, make him bigger.
Yeah.
Give him some energy effect. You know, something interchangeable head, like when he goes all ghosty at the end. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yep. And then it would give you an excuse to, you know, do the Ghostbusters in the gray outfits with, like, the slime guns, right? The slime proton packs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you would need an interchangeable head for Ray, though, when he goes Demon Ray.
Heck yeah.
That'd be great. and then you could get we could finally get a Janine figure, maybe, and maybe a Lewis Janosch. Tully. A Janosch. I was thinking for the Janosch figure, because, like, sometimes with these Build-A-Figure waves, right, like, one of the figures doesn't come with a Build-A-Figure piece. You know, you do, like, a seven-figure wave. What if he just came with a giant portrait of Vigo?
That'd be cool. The background of the portrait, just, yeah.
Yeah, like, just he came with an actual, like, painting of that was his accessory. What else does he need, you know? Like,
if they do...
glowing eyes.
Oh, that'd be cool. Like, a light-up thing, or glow-in-the-dark, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
If they do Peter, they got to come with baby Oscar. I don't think anyone's ever done the baby.
Yeah, you need the baby. Mm-hmm. But then do you put out another Dana?
No.
Because that figure, like, while necessary, and I mean, it looks like Sigourney Weaver. It's, you know, it is what it is. Like, she's in that dress. You can't really pose the figure, otherwise it looks like she's wearing a disconnected sleeve. it's just, but, like, it is what it is. Like, that's what that figure is. There's really not much that you can do with it, but, like, what do you put, like, a Dana and a, you know, a winter coat? Like, like, I don't know what
stroller in the beginning. Yeah,
all the kids are gonna be clamoring for that one.
Yeah, talk about toyetic figures. Nothing like stroll through Central Park, Dana.
that's what I think. Don't get me wrong, I love Ghostbusters, and yeah, I'll buy them all day. But that, I think, is the inherent problem with Ghostbusters, is that once you get past just four dudes in jumpsuits, like, the ghosts and the monsters are where you grab the kids, and I think you've got people coming back, because otherwise it's like Lewis Tully in what, like, a courtroom suit? And then, you know, you could have him in his little button down with, you know, Janine. I don't know. There's not a whole lot you could do.
Yeah, I mean,
you could have him in the suit when he's taking the bus at the end and sees Slimer, but
yeah, with the earmuffs on, where he's wearing the OG Ghostbuster suit and shows up to help.
See, I think what they need, if they do another wave, which I hope that they do, they got to do Slimer and then just pack it with food and whatever else they can fit in there. Yep. Not even a Build-A-Figure piece, just
a food cart with removable food items.
Yeah,
like that, and right out of the hotel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I think. You know, it should have been, instead of, like, build a terror dog, it should have been, like, build a Gozer, and then Slimer would have been, you know, the fifth, sixth figure, something like that. I think that would have been a more complete set, because otherwise now it's a mess with the terror dogs, and Lewis Tully comes with the wrong terror dog, and...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have two terror dogs, but
I think if those go on clearance, I'm going to have another terror dog soon.
Yeah, I needed that Lewis Tully because I had never gotten into any of the previous Ghostbusters figures. Like, I missed all
Maddie. I went and got it too.
Yeah, had to do it. Had to do it. But yeah, I mean, that's just another wave of figures that unfortunately fell victim to 2020. That I think the movie really would have done those figures some good. You know, had that movie been out.
I think so. I'm really looking forward to the 5-inch with the Ecto. A couple got out. I saw who is it? Geek Dad Life. He's a cool YouTube guy. He got a hold of some. They're basic, but they remind me of Kenner stuff more so than, you know, the 6-inch Legends type stuff. So that's, you know, I don't have 5-inch versions of those. So that's where it was more appealing, especially when I saw them at Toy Fair. I was like, kind of want those more than the Plasma series.
they did do a good job with getting, you know, stylized likenesses of them for those figures. So, you know, again, we got to see what 2021 brings us now. Just fingers crossed.
Yeah, just please God put it out. I want to see that movie so bad.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
Speaking of the end of the year, one of the things that comes, of course, before the end of every year is Christmas, which is right around the corner. This episode is airing just a few days before Christmas of 2020. So let's dial back the clock. Let's take a trip back in time and revisit some of our favorite memories from Christmas. Toysha, since you're the guest, would you like to go first with your Christmas memory, your ghost of Christmas past?
I'd love to. It's funny you say that. Whenever I think of, you know, Christmases, Pat, you know, as a little kid and getting something, it was getting the Ghostbusters Firehouse, believe it or not, which is still one of my favorite toys, one of my highlights in my collection. But it was, you know, setting it up with my dad and having, not an argument, but like, you know, wanting to play with the slime. My mom realizing like, no, this is going to get all over the carpet, which it did. Which, don't give kids slime. Are you, like, you know what I mean? That's just like a death sentence for your house.
And that's 1980 slime. That's not even like...
Yeah, that's like corrosive, gross, like...
That does not come out of the carpet.
I think that, you know, in some instances, I still got a little bit of caked on slime here and there. Not even from when I was a little kid. It's like later, like, oh, I have a can of slime. Let's see if it still works, dumping it through the firehouse roof, which, why wouldn't it work? But the little nooks and crannies of that playset, just perfect for all kinds of gross substances to migrate in there and stay there for years and years. But no, that's, you know, putting it together with my dad, the big white box, I still remember that, sitting in the box, he put me in the box, that's so funny. But that's one of my favorite toy memories.
And did you, along with the firehouse, do you remember, like, did you get other figures with it, or was it just that year? Was it like you already had the figures and you just got the fire?
You know, I was lucky as a kid. I had, you know, I had the Ghostbusters. I had, it was kind of like a family affair. You know what I mean? Like, everybody in my family loved the Ghostbusters. They liked the cartoon. So it was kind of, that's probably where, you know, my thinking towards toys comes from a lot of the times is, you know, you go and it's a family fun thing. You know, I could probably say maybe I got a figure too. I just prominently remember it was probably even other, maybe a Ninja Turtle, something like that. No, that probably wouldn't work. I don't know. I can honestly tell you it was the firehouse and maybe one or two ghosts here and there.
Yeah, I loved the ghost figures from the Ghostbusters wave because they I mean, it's like, yeah, you could obviously play with them with the Ghostbusters, but they were just fun monsters that you could, you know, mash up with the other figure lines from the time.
Yeah.
Super fun figures. Great, like, play features where, like, you know, you squeeze their legs, like, their face transforms and stuff.
Well, yeah.
I also liked, like, the, you know, even though it was tough and I broke them more often than not, the proton packs with the little handle, turn the Neutrona stream.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good play. Is that on the new ones? The ones that they just re-released? Can you do that on the new ones?
You know, I'll let you know. I got myself another set because I left the first ones that I found. I'll have to put them in the collection behind my old Kenner ones. But I was like, you know, I'll pick these up. That way I can open them up, check them out. They look to be the almost exact same. They got a little bit of a different backpack configuration on their back with how they kind of attach, you know. But yeah, they have the little twisty knob, and apparently they're supposed to be a lot more durable, you know, like more rubbery as opposed to that brittle plastic, like you said. Like you knock it in any way and it just snaps.
Yeah, many a Neutrona stream were super glued.
Never worked. I used to tape mine. Oh, it was awful. You show up to your friend's house, they're all like pristine. You come with a janky proton pack.
No one wants a janky proton pack.
You're never invited back over. Parents were like, don't play with that kid.
don't play with him. He doesn't know how to take care of his Neutrona stream.
Yeah. Who wants to be friends with that guy?
Dave, how about you? Do you wanna do yours next?
Yeah, I'll go with mine. So mine is another one that was kind of an early one, I'll say, for me. But it was definitely one where they were the, you know, big kind of, I'll say, toy of the time, kind of like how the LJNs were last year. And for me, it was the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And I just remember, like, I think, Eric, you've probably seen the video. Where it's just me flipping out and like yelling the name of every character that I opened.
That's
leading
awesome.
Leading up to maybe Castle Grayskull, but for sure getting the two pack of like He-Man and Battle Cat and Skeletor and Panthor.
Now, not only do I have this video, I know where it is, and I have the technology. So
no, we're not doing that, but.
I have the technology.
Try
it's not hard. I mean,
try and stop me, Dave. No, but I can confirm it is adorable. We actually just watched this. We were going through some old VHSs, and my daughter wanted to see videos of me as a child, and instead we found a video of you. So we watched. I think we watched like your first three Christmases.
We got Uncle Dave watching, getting pumped for He-Man figures.
And there is like, let me tell you, man, ear to ear grin watching you. I mean, this is before I'm alive, so you know, like this was the first time I'd actually had ever seen this. I was just stumbled into it, you know, ass backwards. But like. You barely being able to, like, you have that little kid voice, right? Like, you're like just learning how to speak properly, yet you open up something and you're like, Battle Cat!
Man with arms! You know, like.
And it was funny because, like, our, you know, mom kept trying to, in the video, to like, no, but open this next. And, like, you knew, like, after you opened one, you were like, no. I know what the rest of these are, and I don't care what's in that pile. I'm going for those Masters of the Universe figures, and you just kept tearing through them, and it is just a joy of joys watching that. So
you should recreate it now with the new ones that are coming out. You should split screen it and recreate it in depth.
I'm sure we can get you those pajamas that you're
wearing. I thought about picking up the Origins, to be honest, but like I can't get everything. Like I just can't.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's so much good stuff, but I mean, like I'd love to get those Super 7 Ninja Turtles that they're redoing for the Playmates, but I can't.
Oh, the Ultimate ones—they're so good.
Yeah. Oh, have you gotten them?
No, I've seen them though. Like they're ridiculous.
Yeah, I just saw Toy Bros pictures of Mutagen Man, and it's just like unbelievable how good they're doing with those Ultimate figures. It's ridiculous. But
Super 7's doing great with those, which we'll get into next episode. Hint, hint.
Wink, wink. Yeah, but it those those Masters of the Universe origin figures, even me, like, that's one of the ones that I kind of skipped. So, like, I played with a lot of your toys when I was a kid, but He-Man was kind of done and gone, like, long enough where I didn't really have a whole lot of interest in those when I was a kid. But those origin figures, like, there's just something about seeing a He-Man figure on the pegs, you know, like, in that old school, you know, bubble with the, you know, with the art and everything. That is super attractive.
And it's part of why I stayed away from the Masters of the WWE Universe, too, because I knew that that was going to be, like, a trapdoor to reacquiring or getting some new form of He-Man figures.
Those are too much fun. Like, you see them on the shelves, you're like, eh, I could do a Mr. T. That sounds perfect right now. And a Snake, Jake the Snake, you know, it. They are a gateway, yes.
Yeah, I was like, I had to, like, immediately be like, nah, I can't do this.
And I've heard people are kitbashing them, too. So, like, you can take the...
Oh, yeah.
The Masters of the Universe and the Masters of the WWE Universe, and, like, if you wanted to make, like, apparently the John Cena has weird hands or something, or, like, weird gauntlets, but you can pop the arms off and give him He-Man's arms, and he looks like a normal John Cena. So, like, there are things that you can do to kind of finagle different looks with the characters. So,
yeah, that's, like, I'll give it to him all day. The playability, we'll just say, you know, for kids in general, one, they're not easily breakable. They don't have those rubber bands. And two, yeah, you can interswap everything except for the legs. I've never popped mine off. I've never seen anybody do it. So I think that's the only part that, you know, doesn't pop off. But I mean, I interswap Skeletor and He-Man parts. It's funny, you know, to do all that. So you imagine being a kid and being able to do whatever you want with them. It's fun.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, maybe, like, the thing that I keep wondering about this stuff is, like, maybe there'll be another, like, another new He-Man, you know, show, especially with, you know, like, all the streaming platforms, you know, getting these licenses and everything. You know, maybe a He-Man show is what we need. A new...
Well, you know, the Netflix one was good.
Yeah. They're, you know... He-Man's kind of like Ghostbusters, I feel like, sometimes, though. It's like, hopefully, with whatever Netflix is going to do with their couple shows or something... it'll reinvigorate the franchise on that aspect, but it's very niche sometimes. But I think that the fun colorfulness of these toys, especially when it starts to hit like everything else, once it leaves Walmart at the end of the year, I think it'll get some legs. I think it'll start resonating a little bit more with other people.
Well, let me close us out, and I can't believe that it's coming down to me to do a wrestling thing, but I'm actually going to do a wrestling thing. So I'm going to take us back to 1999, and I'm going to take us back to the Titantron Live playset with packed in Vince McMahon. So coming out of the Jax Bone Cruncher era, you know, they entered the Titantron era, which was a huge surprise, because, you know, again, we're going back to a time before, you know, we kind of had internet was young, right? So, like, we didn't know really what was on the horizon. So if you weren't looking in, you know, toy magazines or going to the shop every day, you know, the different toy stores, you didn't know it was coming. So as far as I knew, Bone Crunchers were where it was at, and that's what I expected.
It was super early ringside era.
So lo and behold, Christmas of 1999, I get the Jax Titantron and the new Titantron, a slew of the new Titantron figures. And it was just mind-blowing. Because, like, before then, you didn't have an entrance ramp for your figures. So if you did have a, you know, a wrestling figure fed, like Dave and I had, you know, we actually used to use this old giant rocking chair. You know, you turn it around backwards, like, you have the two, like, rockers facing you, and it worked great as, like, a just an archway, you know, for an entrance ramp. You know, get cardboard and whatever else you needed to. But you know, now we had, not only did we have an entrance ramp with Titantron, but now you had new figures that when you pressed their, like, metal plate on the Titantron, it actually played their entrance music and announced them. And
sometimes
when it decided to work. Or you know, being early, well, not early Jax, but like early Jax Titantron figures, some of them came with like the wrong plates, It's like you put down a figure, and you put down like Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you get like the Undertaker's intro. But then you figured out like if you turned it the right way, or like you grab another figure real quick and just tap it down, and have the other figure come out. We figured out ways. We were creative. But yeah, that Titantron was amazing, and like in a world of like being used to having toys with playsets, whether it was like the X-Men playset or the Spider-Man web trap playset with all the magnets or the Batcave.
Oh yeah,
this was really the first like real wrestling playset that wasn't a wrestling ring. A real entrance ramp. It really kind of, and it had lights and sounds, and it was, there had really never been anything like that previously. So we got legs out of that thing. Like even long after, that they had stopped making the Titantron figures and they had moved to, the I think it was what Ruthless Aggression was after Titantron. We kept using that ramp. That ramp got a ton of use. And that Christmas was totally, totally derailed when I opened that box, because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it existed. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it's one of the probably the later memories, or I should say the last time that like something like that happened. Because after that, I was kind of old enough where I was, toys weren't necessarily as exciting, for Christmas. And, with the advent of the internet and things like that, being able to figure out what was coming next, reading news and stuff, that was like one of the really big surprises, like totally blew my doors off.
Yeah, I was heavily involved in that too. that happen.
So when you say you're heavily involved, you mean it wasn't Santa Claus?
Yeah. I found a lot of that stuff.
What? No, that doesn't surprise me at all. That because A, like looking back on it now, it's like, oh, my brother, like he did a really cool thing for me. But you were playing with that. You were playing with that as much as I was. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it was
like I had a hand in that because I wanted to play with it, but it's all good.
It makes sense though. It's hey, listen, that I'm talking about a toy from 1999. It's been how many years? I can't do math. It's like 20 plus years. And I'm still thinking about that toy fondly. So congratulations. You got a good one.
Thank you.
But yeah, so I mean, Christmas this year, it's going to definitely be a different one for a lot of people. So, if you have any good memories of Christmas gifts and you're listening to this, visit us on Instagram and Twitter at AIC_podcast. And let's talk about fun Christmas memories. Tell us about the cool Christmas toys. We'll post something up on Instagram, throughout the week, leading up to Christmas, to give you the opportunity to share your fun Christmas memories and your favorite Christmas toys. And, and we'll try to have some fun talking about it. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And with that, the Christmas spirit fully running through us, having talked about these fun memories, Toyshiz, thank you so much for joining us to take the trip down memory lane and look into the horizon at 2021. Yeah.
No, thank you. As always, thank you for having me. This is always fun just to talk about whatever's happening in the toy world, right? Especially things that have come. Happier days that have come before.
We've got to grasp onto whatever we can here.
Yeah. Oh,
right? That's like the tagline for 2020. Just grasping on to whatever we can possibly grab onto at this point.
Hey, but we made it. We made it. As of airing of this, we've got like a week to go.
We're just about there.
Home stretch.
This is the longest year in existence. Jeez.
Yeah, it feels like 3 years ago that we just did this in March.
Yeah, seriously, it was less than a year since the last time you were on this podcast. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I was, and it was funny before we even started. I thought about it. I'm like, when was the last time I did this? I'm like, oh god, that was like March, right? March or April? Yeah.
Yeah, like right
the first guest of the pandemic era.
Oh, that's. 17 years ago, this pandemic has been going on now. Yeah.
Well, just think, you'll have bookended this experience. You helped us usher in the pandemic, and hopefully you're helping us see it leave.
That's a good way to look at that. It's like, just that's hilarious.
Well, with that, a happy holidays to everybody. Hope you have a safe and happy holiday.
Yes, happy holidays.
Same to you. Yeah.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.